Welcome to KPTZ's Nature Now, a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of kptz.org.
Hello, and welcome to Nature Now. I'm Nan Evans, and I'm here today with my friend Monica Fletcher. I first met Monica several years ago when we both took the WSU Beach Watchers training. Monica is a skilled and very well-traveled birder, and she has an excellent ear for bird songs. Welcome to the show, Monica.
Thank you, Nan. Thanks for inviting me.
This will be fun. A little later on in the program, we'll talk together with Monica about the Audubon Christmas bird count that happened a couple of weeks ago. But first, as always, let's start with a mystery sound. And then later on in the program, we'll let you know what it is. So here's the sound. Well, if you didn't recognize that particular sound, let's give you a little hint by playing another clip of a sound this critter makes. Well, we'll come back to that in a few minutes. First of all, let's do some observation and news around town. Monica.
Marcia Wiener described her encounters near her home on Dundee Hill and on the Fort Worden trails. She noted dozens of very small gray birds, about the size of small mice, scurrying about and pecking at the ground, only moving when Marcia and her dog were almost stepping on them, at which time they sort of hopped away. Marcia describes almost tripping over one of these golden-crowned kinglets.
Almost tripped over one of those, too, yes.
The bird stayed still after the encounter, and Marcia clearly observed the golden stripe on its head and some gold on its wings.
They're fun to see around town now. There was a great little tidbit on the radio program Bird Note recently that I just have to share with you. Have you ever wondered why birds' feet don't freeze?
I thought they did.
Apparently they don't, because according to Bird Note, unlike our feet, birds' feet are little more than bone, sinew, and scale with very, very few nerves. But it takes more than a lack of nerves to keep their feet from freezing. A miraculous adaptation called, and I think I'll pronounce this somewhat correctly, rete mirabile, is responsible. This is a fine, net-like pattern of arteries that carry the warm blood from the bird's heart. It's interwoven with the net-like veins that carry blood back from the feet and legs. And this interweaving does two things. It first of all warms the cold blood that's coming out from the veins, and it cools the warm blood going into the feet. So the temperature of the feet is actually quite cold, but they're moderated so they're never so cold that they freeze. Well, generally not so cold as they freeze. In addition, birds' feet lack sweat glands, so they stay dry. So there's no danger of a poor little bird's feet freezing to its metal perch. If you want to listen to Bird Note, you can catch it on KPLU or stream it online. It's a great little two-minute radio show.
With most of the leaves gone now in the woods, the white waxy berries of the common snowberry, sometimes called waxberry or coralberry, are prominent locally. The berries' fruits are poisonous to humans, but over the winter months, many birds will feast on the berries.
Yeah, I've been noticing that around our woods. Well, Wendy Feltham reports enjoying watching the Barrow's golden-eyed ducks down at the Boat Haven. These are extremely handsome ducks. Well, at least the male is handsome. And they dive underwater to capture their prey of aquatic invertebrates and fish.
We hope you also all saw and enjoyed the Christmas evening full moon. The full moon of December is known as the Long Night Moon, or Moon Before Yule.
I think it was really special to have the full moon on Christmas night. It was quite fun. Monica, let's talk about the Audubon Christmas bird
count.
Very
important, yeah.
So what is it?
Well, the Audubon Christmas bird count is probably one of the longest-running census of bird species and their numbers in the world. It started in the United States in 1900, and it comes out of a tradition that is inappropriate but very Victorian, which was the men at a Christmas gathering where there was feasting and guests and things would go out in a day, and they would take sides. It was called the side hunt, and they would take sides. They would split up in half, and one group of guys would go out and bag everything they possibly could.
And by bag, you mean shoot.
I mean shoot and you kill and bag and carry back and throw into a heap where each side's heap would be judged as to volume of dead material.
Oh, that sounds really grisly, but with today's sensibilities. But yes, I understand. Yes. That would have been.
So this was also kind of at the time of the outrage about women's hat feathers. So there was a new officer of this nascent group called the Audubon Society, which was named after John James Audubon, named Frank Chapman, who decided to challenge his friends to a census of birds, a living count, and to use that competitively. And in 1900, there were 27 participants. That's 27 people went out in 25 different locations and counted the birds.
And this was where? East Coast?
East Coast, definitely. Okay. And there, I think there was like one in southern Canada. They did spread out quite far. So that then was repeated every single year with Audubon's oversight, Audubon Society's oversight. And to the point where today there are 75,000 participants.
Wow.
In about 5 different countries, mostly Western Hemisphere.
Hmm.
There are some almost 2,500 circles.
And when a circle is a
location, it's kind of like, instead of just birding in one place, a circle in the Audubon count is a 15-mile in diameter circle, which is established as a count site. And like for Port Townsend's been a count site for maybe 10 years or something like that. I'm not certain on that number. But some of these count sites go all the way back to 1900.
So that you count every bird try to count every bird in that site every year then.
Yeah, exactly. And so here on the Olympic Peninsula, we have 4 circles. One is near Squim, one is near Port Angeles, one is in Port Townsend, and the other one is a little further out from Port Angeles. We have a 15-mile count called Washington Port Townsend, or WAPT, and it has about 13 different groups that go out. Hmm. And also, we have feeder watchers.
So if you really don't want to go out in the yeah. weather, you can watch at your feeder. Is that it? So it's been going since 100 years or so. Then the 15-mile, you said, diameter of Port Townsend's circle, how many people participate in it?
This year was a bumper crop. This year we had 57 participants. And for the first time, we really did have feeder watchers. So there were 4 or 5 people that stayed home and really looked at their feeders, which is great because you can really get a sense for a count. It's not just happenstance.
So are all these people expert birders?
Not at all. In fact, I wouldn't even call myself an expert birder.
I'd call you an expert birder, but yeah.
So what I did this year, I participated. I was sort of the convener of one group within the 15-mile wide circle. The center of the circle, by the way, is the Crane, yeah. Indian Island. So that's the center from which we all hearkened. So you don't have to be an expert birder. You just need to come along and use your eyes to help people, to help the group spot birds. Most people can spot a bird. And this year, I convened a group that met at Point Hudson and basically made its way through the day all the way over to Chinese Lagoons in Fort Worden, basically to North Beach without counting North Beach, although we cheated and kind of counted North Beach. That group was a crack group. It was a really, really good group. I've not been on this before with so many good birders who had come out of the woodwork. I had not met them in town, and yet they were all town-based. One woman was a woman who's an expert on marbled murrelet. There were 2 couples that bird all the time. And it was really nice to have them along because we could sort of split up and cover a little more area
without confirmation. But I could have come even without being an expert birder. And
absolutely.
I'd learn things.
Yeah.
Since I've always been learning things from you anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it becomes clear whether you know something or not. And if you don't know a lot, you just partner with
somebody who does.
Yeah. Okay. And the main thing is to keep your ears open and your eyes open and spot them.
Okay. So tell me about your day.
Starts early for me.
Yeah.
It's cold. We get together at Point Hudson and set up scopes. About three of us had scopes along. And we had a really wonderful birder from Clallam County, one of the best birders from Clallam County, a guy named Denny Van Horn. He's worked for all of his life with fish and wildlife from Alaska to Southern California. And he knows seabirds like no one knows seabirds. And he can look out in the strait, halfway across the strait, and see birds flying by and identify them because of their silhouette.
Or how they fly, maybe.
How they fly, the rate of their wing beats, what they do when they land. If they dive, that's an ancient merlet. And if they don't dive upon landing, that's a marbled merlet. Just little tips like that, which he's tried to convey to me, but I resist.
Now, you told me before we started, you know, actually this interview, that you saw, and I don't remember the number at this point, common mirrors, thousands.
Thousands. Well, our group in that stretch from Point Hudson to North Beach, we set up right near North Beach, and we just, Denny Van Horn looked out mid-range and just counted for about 10-plus minutes.
And so counted the birds going
flying
through the
by,
scope.
All going from the left to the right, because if you don't want them backing up on you and recounting. Mm-hmm. So just 10 minutes watching birds. He got up to 1,200.
My word.
And so on our official census, it's kind of funny because we had identified 9 common mur near shore.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 9 down. And then Denny yells out 1,200. So the official tally is 1,209.
And 9. You get together early in the morning. You started out at Point Hudson, set up scopes. What happens next?
Well, the first year I did this, which was 3 years ago, we walked this route. We walked from Point Hudson to Chetsmoka to Morgan Hill to Fort Worden and then knocked off and somebody got cars because it was way too much. So this year, we actually just sort of hit hot spots because we could cover more. We would work Point Hudson and then drive to Chetsmoka and walk all over Chetsmoka and then drive up to the top of Morgan Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan Hill has a lot of wonderful gardens and feeders. It's actually not Sather Park that's the attractor.
Oh, really?
It's really the people's yards.
So people who live up there.
Yeah. And then,
did you see anything you didn't expect to see up there?
No, not really. Things we hope to see. That's what you basically do, is you hope to catch that fox sparrow or something that hasn't been on your list. The whole point of this is how many species can we find in Jefferson County or in our in our circle compared to Clallam or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's silly.
I'll ask you the jackpot question a little later.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Okay, so you're now wandering around the gardens up on Morgan Hill.
Right. And so up there is a good place to get woodpecker. So that was good. So then we got back in the car and drove to the Marine Science Center where we knew.
Oh, out on the pier.
Yes,
sure.
Out on the pier where we knew there was a flock of rock pigeon, which which we need.
You said that with a straight face. Rock pigeons. Yes. Anybody who's ever been out there, you've seen the rock doves.
Yeah, the pigeons.
Pigeons,
frankly,
yes,
you know,
pigeons.
Just old pigeons, but we needed them on our list. So that's kind of funny. We saw other things out there, of course. And then we got in the car and went out to Point Wilson. We went out to Point Wilson, and it was freezing. And it was a little difficult to distinguish the birds from the sea kelp heads that were floating.
Oh, floating. Mm-hmm.
And we were freezing. So I'm not sure our count was as robust as it might have been because we broke from there and went to lunch at the Commons at Fort Worden and resumed the rest of our bird watch after that.
Now I'm going to ask you the jackpot question. How many species did you see?
So this was an exciting year. It was more than last year. We saw 117 in one day.
Wow.
117 species. Really quite good. And, you know, this is a time of year where there aren't migrants.
Really? Yes.
You know, there aren't the warblers and the...
So these are all birds that would be here either all year round or just come in the winter from...
Parts north. Yeah, exactly. So that was impressive. And then you're also, with a bird count, allowed to add in species on 3 days after and 3 days before a count officially. So our official total count was 119. Mm. And last year was 116. And the year before that, I think, was 111. So that was kind of fun.
So what's the sort of ratio, say, of seabirds to land birds?
Well, that's a good question. I would say for our walk, mine, the one that I participated mm-hmm. on, it's mostly seabirds.
Okay.
But I would say it's half and half. Mm. I think it's a rich, rich, rich area. And some of our rarest birds that we saw this year were on Maristone Island and were land birds. So those were a western meadowlark. You know, we don't have a lot of grasslands here, so that's quite an accomplishment. A northern shrike, which is also a grassland bird. Hmm. It's a passerine bird that hunts insects and has a little hooked bill. And another one was a phalarope. That's always a rare sight.
Yeah, I've only seen pictures of those.
Yeah. And interestingly, one of the best birders in Jefferson County is a man named Dan Wagner, and he is our compiler and Christmas bird count MC, and he's the one that saw all the rare birds. And interestingly, his crew that was going to join him on this were missing. They couldn't make it. So he saw all these really rare birds by himself.
Wow.
So we, of course, have to believe him because he's the best birder in town. But we teased him.
Oh, yes, some good teasing. So what was the funnest bird that you guys spotted?
Well, I don't know about funnest bird, but I think the biggest drama bird that my group saw was we were counting robins near Chetsmoka Park, and we saw a sharp-shinned hawk come whirling through and nab one of the robins that we were counting. Yeah, one less robin. And so that was a novel experience of taking one off the check.
Yes, that's interesting. And actually seeing a little bit of predator-prey interaction right there in front of you. Well, we could chat on and on, but I think we're sort of getting kind of to the end of our time here. Do you have one last thought about the bird count?
Just about the bird count, I really encourage people to come because it's a great learning time. You feel like a sort of superhero because it's freezing. And even I can't believe I sign up again. But the other thing I'd like to encourage people to do is to bring kids to this because it's a really enthusiastic group. And it's physical and it's informative and it's just great.
Oh, fun. Well, thank you. Well, let's see. Let's go back now and listen to that mystery sound. Well, that, of course, was a pileated woodpecker. Did you see any of those on your bird count?
Interestingly, those were not spotted. That was one of the few birds.
Oh, curious. Of course, they're quite vocal. They typically make this sort of high, clear series of piping calls. The first clip we played for you sometimes is called a wook, and I guess it's mostly used to indicate territory or give alarm. The second sound, of course, is the much more familiar one. That's the sound of drumming. Both sexes do drum almost any time of year, I think. Males drum in the late winter to establish and defend a territory. Both sexes drum as a part of courtship and bonding. Either sex may drum to solicit a mate. And I like this one, too. They can summon mates from a distance. Or sometimes you hear it in response to an intruder near the nest, like if you're just getting a little too close to him. And I'm surprised you didn't see him at the Christmas bird count because both Wendy Feltham and Jim Todd report having seen a pileator woodpecker at work recently along the trails in Fort Worden. Of course, the drumming sound draws your attention to these amazingly striking large woodpeckers. I think they're about the size of a crow. Is that about right, Monica?
A little bit bigger even.
A good, big, healthy crow, maybe a raven. Of course, their bodies are black. They've got these bold white stripes down the neck. and then this vibrant, flaming red crest, which just says, stands out there and says, hi, here I am. And, of course, when they're drumming on dead trees and fallen logs, they're looking for prey, primarily carpenter ants. And you can tell where they've been. This is one of the first things I ever learned about birding, because they leave these sort of large rectangular-shaped holes instead of the round ones. And then those rectangular holes then become shelter for many other species. Lots of birds, swifts, owls, ducks, and bats, and even pine martens. So very cool. Looking forward, Monica, what's coming up?
December 31st, the Port Townsend Marine Science Center offers its annual Protection Island Wildlife Tour from 1 to 4. Enjoy an intimate journey to Protection Island with your family. While learning the history of Protection Island and spotting some of the seabirds, some that we've been talking about, and marine life that makes the island their home.
I went on that last year and had a wonderful time. Also on the 31st, Richard Tucker, the executive director of Jefferson Land Trust, is hosting a community event. Drop by the Land Trust office anytime on the 31st for cider, cookies, and congeniality as the Land Trust celebrates the accomplishments of the year.
On New Year's Day, you can join the Native Plant Society for their annual Teddy Bear Hike.
I love that day, Teddy Bear Hike.
What a way to start the year.
Yeah.
This is the Teddy Bear Hike's 13th year. This hike is named after the 11th essential item for hikers to take into the woods and mountains.
Which, of course, is the teddy bear. Of course, yes.
Exactly. So everyone is welcome to come, bring your teddy bear, celebrate Port Townsend's wilderness within, and the new year. Bring your favorite teddy bear or not. And lunch or snacks. Meet 10 a.m. at Fort Townsend State Park for this hike led by Fred Weinman.
Oh, that sounds like such fun. Also on New Year's Day, you can join Admiralty Audubon to spot your first birds of the new year. They're meeting at Irondale Bay, Chimicumcrete Park. Meet up with members of the Audubon Society in Port Hadlock at the end of Moore Street at 10 a.m. And you can check the Admiralty Audubon website for more details.
And also, January 3rd, Port Angeles is having its Christmas bird count, and there still is a possibility of signing up for that. If you wanted to travel out there, go to the
So if Monica
Audubon
has tempted
website.
you haven't missed any opportunity. January the 3rd?
Yes, Sunday. Same as Seahawks Day.
Oh, well, okay. I have one more announcement of things coming up. I just got this in the email today from Noreen Parks. The Natural History Society, it's an offshoot under the umbrella of the Land Trust, is sponsoring a presentation on bees and biodiversity. It'll be Thursday, January the 7th. This had been scheduled earlier in December, but was postponed due to bad weather. I think it was one of those really incredibly stormy days. The presenter is Jerry Freilich, an entomologist. He's worked in Olympic National Park, where one of his projects was to find and identify as many bee species as possible in the Olympic National Park. So come hear Jerry Freilich talk about bees and biodiversity, 7 p.m. at the Unitarian Fellowship Sanctuary Hall. You can certainly go to the Natural History Society's website for more information. You can find that either by going to the Land Trust website or Google Jefferson Natural History Society, something like that. You'll pick it right up. That's it for this episode of Nature Now. We hope you've enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news of the natural community where we all live. You can contact us with sightings, observations, comments, or even offers to help by emailing naturenow@kptz.org. Nature Now airs at noon on Wednesdays with repeats here on KPTZ on Thursdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 11:30. Recent podcasts are also available on the KPTZ website. Just scroll down till you find Nature Now identified by topic. Under that, you'll see the list of programs.
Nature Now is produced by Nan Evans and edited by Charlie Fleischman.
Today's closing music is Counting is Wonderful. performed by the Count from Sesame Street.
Happy. 1, 2, 3, 4, you can count when you're sad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more, count when you're frightened. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, count when you're mad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's terrific, and how I am pleased to announce you can add up amounts, put some bounce in your life and start counting now. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Ah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Counting's the best thing to do. Try it with me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Very nice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I love to count, don't you? You can count when you're standing. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can count when you're stooped. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Or count when you're sneezing. 1, 2, 3. Ah, shit. Count when you're pooped. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Counting is wonderful. Counting is wonderful.